Welcome to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. Well, at least we know that the Giants will not go undefeated. They lose for the first time this season, 29-27 to the Washington Redskins. Giants drop to 2-1. How you doing, everybody? I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my colleagues David Deal and Imani Tuma. But right now, we're going to go right down to the field, catch up with Paul Dottino, who spoke with Jonathan Casillas and Orleans Darkwa coming off the gridiron.
Well, Jonathan, you won two crushing thriller kind of games, and now you lost one crushing kind of game. It's got to be difficult to swallow.
Yeah, it's a tough game, man. You know, home, dropping this one, you know, it's a division game. It's tough, man. You know, Washington played well today, and they finished, and we didn't.
Did they move the ball a little bit better than you guys had expected? I know that Cousins had not had a great start to the season.
Yeah, you know what? They broke some tendencies. You know, they ran in some passing looks, and they passed in some running looks. You know, kind of got us on our heels a little early. And I felt like we settled in, but like I said, they finished strong, and we didn't.
Yeah, much respect to Matt Jones there on their final drive to get that field goal.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they're a good team. You know, they won a division last year, you know, and they played like that this game.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Orleans, we found out, I guess it was earlier this morning, that Rashad Jennings was not going to go. When did you guys find out? Because you and Vereen then had to really carry the bulk of the load.
Yeah, we found out when y'all found out. You know, he said, I mean, he's feeling good during the week, but he's just not ready yet. Coach trusted us to, you know, take the bulk of the carries, and unfortunately we didn't get the win, but I felt as a rushing, you know, group, we did well.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, the running game in particular, and also the whole pass protection situation. How do you feel your backs did?
I felt like we did good. You know, obviously we didn't get the win, so we got room for improvement, but you know, I'm proud of the group. We fought hard, but we got to go back to the drawing board.
Orleans Darkwa, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Paul Dottino, very much. Our guys, as far as I'm concerned, this was basic, not taking care of fundamentals. Fundamentals in football, protect the football, and make tackles, and they had trouble doing both.
They most certainly did, and when you look at a box score at the end of a football game, you could look at two factors that will pretty much determine the football game. Three turnovers for back-to-back weeks for the New York Giants, not to mention 11 penalties for 128 yards. When you give a team that is hungry coming into this stadium that many opportunities to stay in the game where you can't capture momentum to finish the football game, you're not going to win the football game. So for the New York Giants to have this opportunity to where they can take over and be number one in the division and not capitalize, this isn't what anybody expected for the New York Giants, because they didn't learn from what happened last year to this season as well.
Yeah, and one other thing that you talked about is last week they overcame their turnovers with special teams play. Today their special teams let them down. Kick out of bounds, given field position and momentum to Washington, and also a fake punt. The fake punt really hurt them in terms of giving the momentum, keeping the Washington team in the fight, and that ultimately down the stretch, coupled with the turnover, like the penalties that you talked about, yeah. Dave. Those two things together, you're not going to win many games. As we said last week, if you don't take care of those types of, you know, those clean up the game, you're not going to be able to win, especially when you got a team as good as the Redskins coming in.
And when they got the block punt, what happened? There was another penalty on that had nothing to do that could have changed the outcome of that play. It was away from it. So, you know, just undisciplined play, and like I said, you can squeak away one time with not winning the turnover battle and getting one, but you can't do it back-to-back weeks.
It was also the first time this season that the defense, when needed, was not able to make stops on the run. They were, towards the end of the game, they were churning up yards, the Redskins.
Especially
were.
Down the stretch, yes. Stopping the run the last couple drives. If they would have stopped them maybe a couple times on the ground, they wouldn't have got that last field goal for Washington to take the lead. If they could have, you know, held up a little bit better, because they ran on they started on the 25-yard line or something like that, and that was a long drive with like 5 minutes left. You can't have that happen to win a football game against a team that won the division last year in Washington.
Coach has been talking about, McAdoo has been talking about poise and discipline. That has been his mantra, and it was lost today. In particular, shocking to me from a guy, Weston Richburg, that is so uncharacteristic of him. I was shocked.
Yeah, you know, when you have your second one and when you peel back, you already knocked him down. The peel back to Josh Norman, that right there completely changed the outcome of this football game, because they came away without the touchdown. It moved them back. They had the interception on that one. So all in all, once you do those things, you are absolutely killing the momentum that you had from your side of that time.
And Josh Norman's mental attack on Odell Beckham, it didn't work today.
No.
But it worked on Richburg. And that's kind of the effect that he has on your team. By taking out the starting center for any reason, that quarterback-center exchange, you know, Dave, it is important. Quarterbacks feel real comfortable with their centers. They don't like switching it up. And for Josh Norman to get a victory in that aspect, you know, he may not have got Odell, but he got somebody else in the concussion blast.
And the end result was the wrong result. It was a loss 29-27 to the Washington Redskins. Again, Giants dropped 2-1. All right, take care of some business, folks. Got to make sure you want to go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself a DJI Phantom 4 quadcopter. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Stay right where you are. Ben McAdoo coming up. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on MSG. And once again, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on MSG, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Joining to fray with us, Sean O'Hara. So, Sean, let me ask you, we've been discussing just lack of fundamentals, tackling, fumbling. You tell us what you were watching.
Well, I thought that the Giants really struggled. They didn't have an answer for Jamison Crowder. And I think when Eli Apple went down and when DRC went down, they really didn't have anybody. And I think that for the Giants, they started at the end. Eli started forcing throws. And that throw to William Tye, I think his receivers failed him on both of them. I thought William Tye stopped the route, and he's got to continue that route. It was a heck of a catch by the Redskins defender on that interception in the end zone. And then on the interception to Shane Vereen, Eli just hesitated. And I'm sure that's that throw he'd love to have back. But I thought the defense, for the most part, kept him in the game.
Till late.
At the end, it's almost like they got fatigued.
Yeah,
I think it's 2 weeks in a row now. We saw last week against the Saints, they started to kind of wear them down in the fourth quarter, and we saw some bigger plays come up.
Guys, where do they go from here? When I say where do they go from here, we're talking about a situation. This is now three games, 20-19. Fortunate to win. 16-13, fortunate to win. 29-27. But today was a step backwards. They were building momentum. Today they took a step backwards.
And I think the biggest thing that you talked about is poise and discipline.
David,
and
hold that thought for a second. We got to go to Coach Ben McAdoo, so let's hear from Ben.
We were today -2 in the turnover ratio, way too many penalties. I have to do a better job. Let's open it up. Yeah, you know, nothing surprises you in this league. We knew they were going to throw the flags and throw them early and often. We need to be the more disciplined football team, and we'll get that fixed.
What did they do to be able to move the ball so effectively against you guys defensively?
Well, they have a lot of good weapons. We talked about it all week. I'm going to go back, take a look at the tape. We had some guys go down, but that's no excuse. Next man up. Thought the effort was there. We just need to execute better. It's a learning moment, a tough time in the game. It was a big play opportunity for us. I have to take a look at it on film.
Any special words for Richburg? First play thrown out under the new rules?
I want to see it on film. He looked like he was behind the play, and we knew that it was going to be that type of game.
Eli seemed a little bit off in the interceptions. Could you kind of talk about his game in general and whether that surprised you?
Oh, the first one, he was hot, and he had to get the ball out. I thought the tight end may have been able to break the ball up across the DB's face there. But, again, that's a split-second decision he has to make. Eli's got to body him up a little bit more with the throw, with the type of coverage that it was there. But, no, Eli didn't seem off to me.
You said you had anticipated this game when it came down to the flags. Was that a response to last year's situation with Odell and Norman?
Yeah, with all that's being written and said about the game, we knew that they wanted to come out, the officials wanted to come out and get control of the game and make sure it didn't get away from them early.
Is it disappointing in that sense then that you guys had those penalties in the second half?
Yeah, it's disappointing. Absolutely. We need to be better than that. We are better than that. We're going to address it this week, and we're going to fix it. I don't feel we lost our composure, but I feel we can play more disciplined football. That's what got us over the hump the first 2 weeks. I can't hear you. Yeah, I'm not frustrated. It's 1-16. It's an opportunity for us to learn and grow as a team, and we got to bounce back next week in a primetime stage.
On a touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson, they had reviewed it. It looked like he had bobbled the ball. What did you guys upstairs see in that replay?
We thought it was going to be overturned. I don't think they had enough evidence to lean that way, though. There wasn't enough angles.
Were you close to challenging the punt return when you stepped in the
bounce? I was close, but I didn't see anything conclusive, and neither did anyone upstairs. It was a triangle read, and Vereen popped on it. We had a chance to have a completion. Vereen may have got hooked there with his right arm, and I think the ball was a little bit behind him. The kid made a heck of a play. You got to give him credit there. But there was some things. Shane had to fight through some contact there, which is normal on that type of route, and the throw and catch would have had to be perfect to have a completion there.
Last week, Eli was aggressive, and Victor was able to win that huge possession on that play that won the game, essentially. Today, especially the last 2 minutes, why not go to your big guys downfield? Why not give them a chance to either win a ball like that or get a penalty?
I think the next to the last drive, Odell had the ball on the third down there, and Victor made a play in that 2 minute to move the chains.
But the last possession, you didn't.
Victor caught a ball on the backside of scissors, right? Yeah.
How much do you view this as a missed opportunity?
It's one game. It's 1-16. We got to watch the film. We got to learn from it. We got to move on.
You said that the rest of you needed to throw more flags because of the Norman Beckham hype. Do you think that hype is part of the reason why you guys were a little more undisciplined than you expected? They get caught up in it too much?
I just think that's the way the game went, and we have to be able to pull ourselves out of it when it comes to that.
How do you think the Odell handled himself today on the field, off the field? He had some,
yeah, it's an emotional game. We had a talk with him at one point, and I think on the field he handled himself well.
Can you see anything with Shane Green carrying the ball up second through?
He got to quit putting it on the ground.
Any update on DRC's grind?
No update at this point.
Hamstring. How about Jennings' hand?
It was a decision that was made throughout the course of the week. Finalized it this morning.
Okay. Anything else? All right, Coach. Eli will be in here.
All right, that was Coach Ben McAdoo. With all due respect to the coach, Sean, he's not going to throw anybody under a bus. But when he says they didn't lack composure, I have to disagree with the coach. I thought composure was lost today, especially some two huge penalties in particular on Western Richburg, which we were talking about earlier.
It's very uncharacteristic, I think, of Western Richburg for him to get those penalties. So, coming into the game, if somebody was going to have two penalties like that, unsportsmanlike, and get kicked out of a game, I don't think we would have anybody would have picked Western Richburg. We would have thought it would be Odell Beckham or, somebody else. But I thought for the most part, they kept that aspect of it. We saw in the second half or in the fourth quarter, emotions got aroused a little bit. It was when that big hit Josh Norman had on Sterling Shepard, everybody started to get fired up and things started to escalate from there. But I think for the Giants and I think for Ben McAdoo, they just look at this is an opportunity missed. And I don't know that you can really throw one guy under the bus or you're not looking at anybody. Obviously, Eli with the interceptions, but they were in it. They had a chance to win the football game right at the end, and that's really all you can ask for in the NFL.
Yeah, I looked at this press conference with Ben McAdoo. I didn't like his – he didn't seem – just move on to next week. I mean, we want to talk about this game. We want to know where you are emotionally. You just lost your first game in a disappointing fashion, and he just seems very ho-hum. It's 1-16. I didn't like the way he was accepting his first loss.
I just think, all in all, to not be able to build – off of the performances back to back to back. I think that's the biggest thing that we were all waiting for is, were they going to learn from losing the turnover battle last week where they were able to squeak one out and lean on the defense to close out the football game? You can't do that to your defense. You can't rely on that as a football team to have three turnovers, to put your defense in that position again and expect for them to come out every single time, because you saw that they were worn down in that final drive, and Washington was able to take advantage of it and capitalize it. That's the biggest thing that I took away from this. You get away with it once last week, but you cannot do that in an NFC East division game when you know the Washington Redskins are completely hungry and they are relying on this win in order for their season to
continue. And for the Giants, when you see D'Angelo Hall go down and Breshad Breeland, you have
to
be licking
your chops,
thinking, you know what? Yeah. We've got this secondary right where we want them. We're going to attack them, and we're going to be aggressive. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, not going to say the loss was shocking, but certainly disappointing. Nobody expected that performance today. All right, more coming up. Quarterback Eli Manning, you are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG.
You know, get all the way underneath on it. So, bad decision by me. Sure, going on to my next progression, and got made a good play, and unfortunate.
And the first interception, what'd you see in that middle there?
They were all out blitz, and had it picked up pretty good. So had Ty just on a post route, just trying to give him a chance, and. Guy just made a better play on the ball, poor decision, poor throw right there. Could have gone into my other progressions, and possibly got someone else open.
Coach talked about he expected a lot of penalties today. You guys, 11 penalties, 128. How does that impact you in terms of trying to just kill the drives and slowing things down?
You can't have that. So you can't have the turnovers. Obviously, you can't have the penalties. Sometimes, one can lead to the other with the penalties, putting you in bad positions. So just the personal fouls, they're costly. Costly, down to 2 yard line at one point. Now you're backing up. We got to play smart. It throws you out of your rhythm. Makes the play calling harder. Slows down the game. We got them on the ropes a few times, and all of a sudden we're going backwards. We got to play smart football. We can't afford to do that.
How good did you feel?
Because
you beat yourself, mistakes.
As bad as the fact that we, as sloppy as it was at times, we still had a chance at the end, and a good chance. Plenty of time to go down there and get in field goal range. First down call right there with 1:09. So unfortunately had a bad play. Had opportunities earlier, but they played well. They did some good things. They had a good plan. We did some good things early, but we eventually had some plays that cost us and kept us from scoring more points.
Eli, you certainly in your career had a lot of success, especially in Super Bowls, being down 2 minutes to go and going right down the field and scoring. What was your level of confidence at that point that you had to get?
Felt good. Felt good. We needed a field goal, getting field goal range. We've been moving the ball well. Most of the day hit some big plays, was getting completions. And so felt, we were in good shape. Kind of got in a bad situation, but converted to third and 15 or 17 or whatever it was. We had time. We were getting close to field goal range and with a timeout and time on the clock. So felt good about the situation. We didn't execute well enough, and that goes on me.
Need to say something to Odell after he seemed a little frustrated on the sideline?
Yeah, just trying to figure out what was going on, why I was frustrated. It seemed like he was getting catches, he was making plays, and just need him, we need everybody to stay calm. We don't need to get rattled. We don't need to get fired up. You can get excited, celebrate your teammates, but we just got to keep, I don't know why, we just got to do a better job offensively, everybody, just staying calm and staying in our rhythm.
Eli, with the division and everything, was a chance to sort of separate some daylight,
not disappointing
also.
We look at it as a division game. It's not about daylight. It's about, we had a chance to win a division game, and we didn't. So we'll see them again. But we'll get our focus on Minnesota. They're playing good football. I believe they're 3-0. And just try to go see if we can get back on track, play better football.
Do you feel like you've
guys lost your composure in the second half?
You know, I don't know. Whatever it is, we just, you know, we obviously when you get penalties and you get, you know, a player ejected, that's not good. You know, we're not doing our job, and we can't afford to do that. We can't get, you know, afford to get out of our zone, and you know, when we're doing good things, when we're playing, and we got an opportunity to extend the lead, and you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know the circumstances of the ejection, or, you know, didn't see the play exactly how it occurred, but you know, just too many self-inflicting mistakes that put us in bad positions.
Ejection, you know, what kind of adjustment? I know it's always next man up, but, you know, having this starting center.
Sure,
yeah.
You know, I thought Brett did a good job popping right in right there. It's not easy. You know, you don't have a whole lot of time to, you know, go get snaps. Usually you try to get a few snaps with the center, but, you know, he popped right in. He's done a good job and did a, you know, handled the situation well.
All right, that was quarterback Eli Manning. Guys, you understand his body language better than I do. You've been his teammate. To me, he's very frustrated right now, not because they lost, not even just because he made some bad passes, but as he said, the composure there was flat-out lousy today. They lost it.
I can explain why Odell Beckham Jr. was upset. He wasn't getting the ball. I mean, he only had 11 targets, and, you know, Breeland goes out, just like Sean said. Breeland goes out. Dante Hall goes out. He expects to get the bulk of the carries. He's a big play guy on that offense, and he's not making plays with the and getting more opportunities. It doesn't really make sense. What's the purpose of this offense? Is to get the players who make plays the ball, and that's not what's happening.
So let me ask you a question. They've got what they say is a triple threat in Odell and Victor and Sterling Shepard. But are they trying to distribute the ball too much and not going to your big home run hitter?
That's a great question. I think that's one that you're all asking. When you lose a football game, you start rethinking back to everything that happens, because he quietly had 7 catches for 121 yards with a 17 average for Odell Beckham Jr. But to go along with the Amani Toomer, when you have a player like this and you need that impact play, keep feeding him the football, because everybody else will follow suit and continue to make plays. Having said that, once again, back-to-back weeks had another big drop where it could have changed the complexion and the outcome of that drive and of this football game. So you may question all these things, but you question them more when you don't have that game-changing play that can put your team on the other side and start stealing back the momentum, because it was like quicksand. Yeah. One thing would happen, and they just keep giving it right back to the Redskins for an opportunity to keep in this football game.
Well, it was clear that the game plan wasn't to really go deep. They didn't take a lot of deep shots. They weren't going to – Coach McAdoo wasn't going to get involved in the, hey, Odell Beckham versus Josh Norman aspect. And Shane Vereen starting for Rashad Jennings, I thought he did a great job. If you take away the one fumble, he had a great day. He averaged over 6 yards a carry. And it was going to be the Shane Vereen show. They were going to run the football, establish the run. And then Odell Beckham had 7 catches for 120 yards. But a lot of that damage was done in the second half. And I think when they look back on this film, you mentioned Eli Manning, Russ. Eli, you know, look, he always stands at the podium and he takes it on the chin. He never sells anybody else out. He always takes the brunt of it. He knows he made a couple of bad decisions and a couple of bad throws. But they're going to look at this film and they're going to say, we let a win slip away. Because they had the Washington Redskins right where they wanted. They had a chance. The Redskins were 0-for-4 in the red zone. It's exactly how you want to draw it up. The Giants had over 100 yards rushing. The formula was there. And they just didn't capitalize on it, which is completely different from what we saw in weeks one and weeks two. The Giants just couldn't finish it today at home in the division.
Yeah, when they had a chance to throw the haymakers, they did not do it. And again, the result was a 29-27 loss to the Redskins. Giants, first of the season, they fall to 2-1. All right, take care of some more business, folks. Guests of our postgame show here receive a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's, located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere, Ben and Jack's, I will guarantee you, it's going to surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Coming up will be number 80, Victor Cruz. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG. And once again, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented to you by Mercedes-Benz right here on MSG. From outside of MetLife Stadium, let's now go inside, catch up with Paul Dottino, who earlier caught up with number 80, Victor Cruz.
Thanks, guys. And, you know, Victor, obviously this isn't the way you wanted today's game to end, but, you know, for every really good thing that happens, sometimes a bad thing happens too, and you guys won two close games. Now you're on the other side of it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Obviously, you want to, you know, we've been in that position before, you know, minute change left, coming down in the fourth quarter to win the game, and you're confident. You understand Eli's been in this position before, and you understand exactly what you have to do to win the game. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't fall your way. And this shouldn't have come to the last game. We had a lot of opportunities to put some touchdowns on the board throughout that game, and we didn't conquer that.
Yeah, turnovers and penalties, two things that I know the coach is going to stress when he sees you guys now tomorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, between penalties that were self-inflicting and hurting our drives and hurting our drive starts even, you know, they're not going to help you win ball games. But you have to understand that and remain disciplined and get ready for next week.
Tell me about what it was like out there on the field between the lines. How much jabbering, jawing was there? How much intensity was going on? It looked like a very high energized game. Did it have an impact?
I mean, it was football. So, you know, it is what it is. You're out there combating, and it's a high energy game. It's a division game. You understand exactly what you're going up against. And, you know, obviously you have to understand that going into the game and be able to go have a mindset when you're on the field. But, I mean, they were talking, we were talking, it was football. So we got to be able to stay confident and continue to focus on the task at hand.
Victor, before I let you go, what good do you take out of this game? The fact that maybe your backup running back's got a semblance of a running game going, what did you like that you can take to Minnesota next week?
I think I liked, in certain scenarios, I think I liked our poise. I think we understood, you know, especially early in the game, we understood we had to score points and we had to score fast. And we got out to a good start. And I think that's the thing we got to hang our hat on and be able to, you know, elongate that throughout the game. Keep that intensity, keep that energy for all four quarters.
Victor Cruz, thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right. Well, all due respect to number 80, Victor thought he saw some poise there. I thought the story today was a lack of poise overall.
I agree. Lack of poise equates to penalties, and that's what happened today, and turnovers and things like that. But when you look at the receiving core, I thought they played pretty well. They were pretty efficient. They were 21 of 15, meaning they didn't have many throws to them, but they made a lot out of the throws that they had. But I think Victor Cruz is one of those guys we're talking about, a big play guy that didn't get an opportunity. For him to only have three opportunities and convert on all threes, to me, that I didn't really like that. Donnell had more, had one more. Ty had two more. Vereen. All these guys had more opportunities to touch the ball than a Victor Cruz. I think there's something wrong with the game plan. They need to make sure they get the guys who are going to make big plays, like Victor Cruz, Shepard, and Odell Beckham. They need to have the ball more.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. On the trying to look at the glass half full this time, the running game, I mean, you got Vereen, 11 carries for 67. Darquard, 10 for 53. Remember, Rashad wasn't playing, so they're trying to build a running game. They were doing that, but is it coming at the expense of the passing game?
Well, I think you have to have a good balance of both, because if you look back and you look at the opening game against Dallas, it was 28 to 24 passes to runs. I think when this group has a balanced attack, it allows them to do so much more. And you've got to give a lot of credit to Orleans Darkwa. He continues to show that when he gets his foot in the ground, he is going to run downhill and get every single ounce and get every single yard that he possibly can. So he gets a lot of credit for the way he ran today.
All right, folks, a lot more coming up here on Giants Post Game Live on MSG. But right now, what do you say we take a look at what's coming up this week on Giants programming right here on MSG? Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on MSG. What do you say we now go back inside, down to the locker room, and hear from number 13, Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think it's the same team, same thing teams have been doing all year, not allowing, you know, anything deep, keeping everything in front of them, you know, which is a good strategy. You don't allow for any big plays. You got to methodically drive the ball down the field. And they did a great job of coming out being 0-2 and clawing, scratching, fighting, doing anything they needed to do to get the win.
Were you in tears after every point in that game on the sideline?
I don't remember.
How'd
I don't remember.
Odell, when your first touchdown, Norman caught you up in the air. You were getting the ball. He carried you about 5 or 6 steps. Were you surprised the referee did not call a flag on that?
I don't remember, man.
When you say you don't remember, it's just because there's so much adrenaline going on that if so much happens, it's hard to even...
Yeah, I don't remember.
Did the referee speak to you beforehand, and do you feel like there was an added emphasis?
Yeah, they implemented a new rule this year, basically. I think it was the Odell Beckham Jr. rule. I had 3 personal fouls last year, and they said if you come out, you get 1 personal foul, you get another one for the same thing. And today they came up before the game and said, if you do anything, we're throwing you out the game. And that was before the game. There was no, you get a warning. There was no any of that. So you just got to be on your best behavior. Unfortunately, that's what we've come to. It's not really football anymore, as much as it is all the other things that play into it.
So you were playing with the expectation that if you had 1 personal foul, that you'd be gone.
Yeah, I was honestly shocked when we ran a play and I went to block, and I guess I blocked too early. I was surprised they didn't throw me out the game then. I wouldn't have been surprised, actually.
Did that change the way you played this game?
No, not necessarily. You just have to stay composed. I don't know what else to tell you.
All right, that was, if you will, a confused Odell Beckham Jr. You tell me, guys. Odell says it's not football. Is it football the way it's being called? And when he gets told a situation like that, not from his coaches, but from the officials.
Well, I think he felt a little bit, you know, kind of caged in. And you know, he's an entertainer. He wants to dance and he wants to have fun. I don't think he felt like he had fun. I think he's also frustrated. To your point earlier, Amani, I think Odell is saying, you've got to get me involved sooner. They waited until the second half to really start going to him and really – you know, he gets the crowd going. He gets the team going. So I think they've got to find ways to get Odell the ball sooner, get him involved, you know, kind of get the energy going, and I think that helps out with the offense.
Until you stop him, stop throwing him the football. Because right now he is still making plays. He's still drawing all the coverage. But you cannot wait in a tight-knit game like this to the second half to give it to him. If you want your offense to have the type of numbers that they need to have each and every game, if you want to stretch the football field and take pressure off of your offensive line, get them the ball.
Yeah, you know, some receivers, if you don't get them the ball early, they become disinterested. And it's hard to get their momentum back going after they've already kind of shut down. So I just think that you look at these statistics right here, you know, 7 receptions, he had 11 opportunities, 17 yards. Every time he catches the ball, he's getting 17.3 yards. Why would you not go to him? It doesn't make sense to me, and he's frustrated. And you can see it by the dejected manner in which he's answering those questions.
Yeah, here's the most basic question, Sean. You know, if your guy like Odell early on is catching big plays, doesn't that simply open things up for everybody else? And it has to make their defense worry about everybody
Well,
else.
I think it did, and it did for Sterling Shepard on the touchdown throw. Yes. He had the one-on-one coverage. Also, think about the touchdown throw to Bobby Rainey, if he's able to come down with that. Bobby Rainey's one-on-one with the safety because everybody is focusing on Odell Beckham. So I think what might have scared Eli is early on, that first pass that he threw to Odell, the double move. Josh Norman almost intercepted it, so it might have scared him away a little bit. But I think we've also got to congratulate Odell Beckham, what he did today, his 200th career catch in just 30 games. That's the fastest in NFL history. I mean, the guy, he's a phenom.
Yeah,
and you know what? Even when you throw him the football and you think you've got him corralled, he finds a way to spin out. He broke tackles today. He's definitely worth the price of admission. And I think today he was frustrated, obviously, because he didn't feel like he was himself. He felt like he was, you know, really hamstrung and really they pulled back the reins on him before the game. But more importantly now, Odell's got to put that behind him. They've got a big task ahead of them going forward next week with Monday Night Football at the Minnesota Vikings where they got smoked last year.
Well, let's look on the bright side. Bright side is they're going in at 2-1. They're not going in at 0-3. They're not going at 1-2.
No Adrian Peterson.
That's a very bright side from an opponent's standpoint.
And Stephon Diggs.
All right, folks. You are watching here Giants Post Game Live presented by MSG right here for you on – no, I said presented by Mercedes-Benz on MSG. Mercedes-Benz, the luxury automobile of your New York Giants. Stay right where you are. More coming up, including Nat Burray. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. Now, what do you say we go back inside, catch up with Paul Dottino with Nat Burhe.
Okay, guys, and Nat, obviously disappointing loss, but it was Matt Jones's running, I thought, that set up their game-winning field goal that probably is the most disappointing to your defense. I would take a guess. How did you see it?
You know, we had him backed up there, and we gotta really stop the penalties, man. You know, we had a penalty. JPP jumped off sides. Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate, which gave him momentum to move the ball. And I mean, they came out in the first half, you know, changed up the offensive tempo a little bit. Second half, we settled down, started seeing, you know, what we've been seeing on film, and it just didn't turn out.
How much, if at all, did Cousins surprise you with the way he played today compared to the first two games of the season when he wasn't nearly as effective as he was last year when he was a superstar?
Right. Well, I mean, he looked more comfortable to me back there. He just kind of let it rip, you know, there towards the end. But, I mean, we were ready for it. We prepared for it. It just didn't happen.
All right, let me ask you about that fake punt that we saw.
Right.
You know, big plays like that can often take the wind out of a team's sails. Did it affect you guys emotionally? Although there were so many ebbs and flows to this game, it seemed like every 5 seconds somebody else was making a play for somebody else. But that fake punt in particular, how critical was that?
I mean, you know, we stopped them, and they came out. It just gave them a little bit more, you know, momentum. I feel like we came out on defense after that and stopped them for what was a field goal.
Yeah.
And so I think we held our own on defense on, you know, when it comes to that fake punt.
I think the one thing I want to leave you with, you know, a lot of times we talk about a bend but don't break defense, and so far that's been good for you guys. Today, unfortunately, too many field goals, too much bending, I think, actually cost you as well.
Right. I mean, I have to agree with you. A little too much bending, but we'll go back and watch the film and see what we can take from it.
Nat Burhe, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Nat Burhe, everybody, back to you guys.
All right, Paul and Nat, thank you very much. You know, a fake punt always is a great play when it works. And when it doesn't work, it was a disaster. But speaking of plays that didn't work, I thought the Giants got a huge break at the end of the first half when on that, with 6 seconds left, Cousins drops back and gets sacked. I mean, the Giants got a gift because that was 3 points for sure on the board.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins had no business doing that. I mean, Eli, it looked a lot like what Eli did in week one down in Dallas last year. You've got to know where you are. You got to throw the football away and get field goal there. It didn't hurt Kirk Cousins in the end. But Nat Burhe, I've got to say, he played phenomenal today. I thought what he did in the run game coming up, he had a number of big hits. He was a force to be reckoned with. The Giants, when they look at this game film, they're going to know all three phases left plays on the field. And I thought the block punt by Aguara that was negated by the personal foul completely changed the game. Without that personal foul, the Giants are probably going to go in and score, and they're going to win this football game. That was a huge special teams play, and they gave up a big return to Jamison Crowder early on, so it would have been a great bounce back for the special teams.
Let me ask you this question, guys. You know, I was speaking to Coach McAdoo during the week, and I said to him, after two games, it was the best-case scenario for a head coach. You get two wins, but there was a lot you can say to your players that we need to work on and improve on. They could take nothing for granted. This, looking on a positive side, he can go back and say, see, I told you so. Now we really got a lot more to do heading into a big game Monday night in Minnesota.
Yeah, you obviously have that where you could say that I told you so, but you don't ever want to do that because you understand how important this game can be for the New York Giants football team down the stretch, because we know how important it is if you want to make the playoffs. Ensure your chance by winning the division. This was their opportunity to put themselves right at the top, right where they could start to control their own destiny throughout this season. But having this happen, having this loss, is one of these ones that maybe down the road here where it can make the difference of the Giants making the playoffs or not.
Happened to them last year.
Yep. Dave, losing a home division game is something that it's almost like you're losing two games. And I think they're underplaying how big of an effect this is going to have on them if they are going to be in the in a playoff situation. But one of the positives is that their red zone defense. You know, they kept the Washington out of the end zone in the red zone. So they did a good job there. But there's a lot of work left to do. I think Giants were 40% in the red zone. Those are things that if they would have, with all the mistakes that they had today, if they would have been up a little higher in the red zone percentage scoring, game would have been over anyway.
All right, we'll get ready to wrap things up, folks. But right now, a reminder, we don't want you to forget this Tuesday night, 9:30 on MSG. It's Giants Live featuring number 80, Victor Cruz.
Giants fans, what up? It's day one, training camp. Let's take this ride to it. Let's do it.
It's time, man. It's real. It feels as real as it's ever felt. About to go in here. Just put my best foot forward, man. That's the only thing I got control over is myself. And I'm excited for the next chapter of my journey, man. And it starts today.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap things up here on Giants Post Game Live, presented to you by Mercedes-Benz. And listen, guys, on the bright side of the situation, all the problems that we saw today in terms of maybe receivers, maybe Odell getting a ball more or drops or missed tackling, that's all very correctable stuff.
Yeah, fixable mistakes. I think for the Giants, a couple of things that jump out at me. Number one, they got their first takeaway of the season. It's shocking that they had to wait till week three to get it. But then also, JPP and Olivier Vernon both got their first sacks of the season. It was good to see them get to the quarterback. They're all going to look at this game and say, well, boy, they let this one get away. But if they can find a way to get a win next week, it won't matter.
I think that offensively, they need to look at their ability to control the football on first and second down, to stay in third and manageable downs, going to Minnesota, holding on and making sure that they don't have the turnovers on the offensive side of the ball, and defensively, making sure that now, since it's a Monday night game, getting everybody back healthy, getting DRC, getting Eli Apple all ready to go, because this is a huge game in Minnesota.
I think this was a hot potato game. Both of these teams really didn't want to win. Both of these teams making mistakes that would cost them ordinarily. Now they're going to Minnesota next week, and they're playing Sam Bradford and a team that's red hot in the Minnesota Vikings. I just want the Giants to give themselves a chance to win to next week, and that's what I think they need to take away from this loss.
All right, well, you heard Imani say next game is Monday night, 8:30 p.m. And then, as always, you're going to watch Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. It's the luxury automobile of the New York Giants for you right here on MSG. For Sean O'Hara, David Deal, Imani Tuma, I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for watching us. We will see you next Monday night right here on MSG.